We're checking in on Sandhill Cranes on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Fox River National Wildlife Refuge was established 40 years ago this week, and the primary reason was to protect habitat for the sandhill crane. These tall, gray-bodied birds breed in open wetlands and fields and prairies, and they seek out just the right balance of land and water to mate and raise their young. Let's take a listen to one. Have you visited the Fox River National Wildlife Refuge or another wildlife sanctuary in Wisconsin? What did you see? Did you spot any sandhill cranes? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sadie Odell is a wildlife biologist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which manages the Fox River National Wildlife Refuge in Marquette County. Sadie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Well, can we start out by you setting the scene a little bit at this refuge? What does the sanctuary look like today?
Well, Fox River Refuge is a beautiful representation of native Wisconsin wetland habitat. I think most of the similar wetlands in the area of this area of the state have been altered by past development and drainage practices and can be dominated by invasive species. The area and wetlands at Fox River is a rare place where a variety of native wetland habitat still exists.
So the majority of it is sedge meadow, is that right?
Yeah, sedge meadow, wet prairie, and shallow marsh wetlands. And the shallow marshes are important sandhill cranes because of the association with the Fox River and the shallow marshes that border the Fox River there.
What kinds of animals either migrate there or live there year-round?
So another interesting fact of the refuge and its establishing purpose was that when it was established, it was recognized that it was a unique area because of the diversity of vegetation and habitat types on the refuge. There are 10 distinct plant communities, and most of them being wetland. There are some rare upland habitats, some dry prairie, as well as some oak savanna that border these wetland habitats, and over 150 species of wildlife can be found there. Secretive marsh birds use the refuge, and as well as some of the waterfowl that you'd find typically on river wetlands and in Wisconsin, like mallards and teals. And so, yeah, there's a lot of some rare and endangered species associated with the use of those wetlands. Blanding turtles, a rare turtle in the state, can be found on the refuge, as well as sometimes we do view whooping cranes as well on the refuge.
So sandhill cranes have good company.
Yes, they do.
Why is the refuge important to their survival?
Well, I think just it's important to the state to conserve and protect wetlands of this size and for the purpose of staging and wintering areas where these large migratory flocks of cranes congregate in the fall. And so I think just the habitat that it provides for breeding as well, and then that migratory staging area, I think it's really important to conserve those areas.
Take us back to 1979 when the sanctuary was established. At that time, were there endangered or threatened species? What was the situation like for sandhill cranes?
Sure. When the refuge was established in the 1970s, the crane population was just rebounding after extremely low population numbers in the early 1900s when the birds were almost exterminated from unregulated hunting practices and loss of habitat from development and the drainage of agriculture land that we've talked about. So back in the 1970s, the refuge was a special place, and it was known as the Fox River Sandhill Crane Marsh, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service recognized that as a unique area. Back at that time, the refuge supported, at least five breeding pairs and 50 to 69 non-breeding cranes in the summer. And then again in the fall, it was an important area for staging. And I think at this time, back in the 1970s, when when the cranes were just rebounding, this place was a very unique and special place for the cranes.
We're talking with Sadie O'Dell. She's a wildlife biologist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and which manages the Fox River National Wildlife Refuge. Have you visited this refuge or another sanctuary in Wisconsin? What did you see? Did you spot any sandhill cranes? And what was your reaction? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Sadie, what are their nests look like? How do they nest?
So they prefer to nest in areas with vegetation growing in standing water. So they create large bowls, nests, and sometimes in they're floating in water, and they typically use whatever vegetation is dominant in that landscape. So at Fox River Refuge, that would be the sedges that we talked about. And the sedges are similar to grass species, but they're in a whole different plant family. They'll use that vegetation, and then they lay 1 to 3 eggs, typically 2 eggs, and they'll stay close and defend their nesting territories in these wetlands and their nests for about 30 days as they incubate their eggs and sit on nests.
Who are their predators?
In the areas that we are in Wisconsin here in South Central, so their predators would be coyotes, and maybe some foxes and raccoons that you may find on some of the adjoining uplands that these predators would be on.
And what does the sandhill crane population look like today?
Well, today the sandhill crane population is rebounded, and you can see quite a few cranes in the landscape today. They number about 700,000, and there's 6 subspecies actually of sandhill cranes. The crane that we have here in Wisconsin is the greater sandhill crane, and those are probably about 70 to 100,000 in population, and maybe half of them are in Wisconsin. The lesser sandhill crane is the one you associate more with the mid-continental population that where they congregate on the Platte River out in North Dakota. So there's a couple of different species, but those are the two larger subspecies. And like I said, at Fox River in Wisconsin, we have the greater sandhill crane.
Are they social? Do they stick together, or are they generally more isolated?
So during their breeding time, they are very territorial, and they're very bonded to their mate and their pair, and they stick close to their breeding territories. But then when it comes to the fall migration time, they do socially gather and congregate in these roost sites, what we call roost sites. And the roost sites are these open water areas in wetlands. And then they will also forage in upland habitat and agricultural fields on old grain and such. So you'll see them congregating more in the migration time. And then when they're in their breeding period, they're more isolated.
Sadie, where do sandhill cranes migrate to? What are their migration patterns looking like?
Sure. Like I mentioned before, there's three migratory populations of cranes, the lesser and the greater and the Canadian. And the greater sandhill crane migrates more along the Mississippi River Flyway. So they breed in Wisconsin and go down towards, some of them don't. It depends on the weather conditions and migration patterns changing, but some of them only go as far south as Indiana. Others go further south into Florida area. And the lesser sandhill cranes have more of that mid-continental migratory period where they breed up in the Canadian plains, and then they migrate in winter down in New Mexico and Mexico.
I love how you called it the Mississippi Flyway. I'll never look at the Mississippi the same way again. It's like the super continental transportation interstate or something for birds.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it is for many other species of birds, not just the sandhill crane too. So it's a very, very important flyway, and it's important to protect those, like I said, those staging and migratory areas for those birds when they complete their migration along the way each year.
How important is the Fox River to sandhill cranes?
I think, you know, like I talked about earlier, you know, back in the 1970s when populations were rebounding, it was certainly more important. Today, I think with, you know, or in the 1970s when we saw more protection of our waters and wetlands and the restoration and work that we've done to protect other wetlands in the state, that the crane population has more opportunities to nest and protected in areas and wetlands. So it's still important as a staging area and breeding area, but there's also other areas that they find important too. There's the Horicon Refuge, and there's the White River Marsh and some Grand River Marsh. There's a variety of wetland habitats. And the Wisconsin River, you know, most people associate, you know, sandhill cranes with the Alder Leopold Shack and the Wisconsin River. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly another important area, which is actually fairly close to the Fox River Refuge. So there's important areas in all wetlands in the state in general nowadays.
We're talking about protecting sandhill crane habitats on Wisconsin Weekend. Sadie O'Dell is a wildlife biologist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which manages the Fox River National Wildlife Refuge. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about wildlife sanctuaries and how they're managed? Is there adequate protection for sandhill cranes or are other threatened species? What do you want to know about efforts to protect sandhill cranes? You can call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to this conversation in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about habitats for sandhill cranes in this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Fun facts about these birds, courtesy of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. The earliest sandhill crane fossil, estimated to be 2.5 million years old, was unearthed in Florida. And sandhill crane chicks, they can leave the nest within 8 hours of hatching and are even capable of swimming. What do you want to know about efforts to protect sandhill cranes? What do you want to know about other wildlife that rely on the sanctuary for food or shelter? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Sadie O'Dell stays with us. She is a wildlife biologist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which manages the Fox River National Wildlife Refuge. Sadie, your organization, U.S. Fish and Wildlife staff, have been working to restore the sanctuary over the past 4 decades. What have been some of the changes, the updates?
So the management we've done has been focused on restoring habitats that declined from agricultural development and drainage on the refuge. So, and past restoration efforts, you know, we focused on plugging and filling and these ditches that were drained to restore the natural hydrology and some of the natural flow to the streams that traversed through the refuge. In more recent years, we've worked to restore some of the surrounding upland areas, the native prairies and the oak savanna habitat. We have some very unique partnerships with some really partners in the area that are very focused on the legacy of John Muir. John Muir County Park is located across the street from the refuge, and the spirit of him lives on with many of the partners, like the Natural Heritage Land Trust, which is now the Groundswell Land Trust, and the Ice Age Trail Alliance, as well as the Friends of John Muir. And some of the surrounding lands, a lot of restoration still continues to this day, restoring some of that native habitat.
Well, let's go to Lindsay now, joining us from Mount Horeb. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. Say, this winter, it was February, and it was 18 below that morning, and I saw a sandhill standing by a creek down by Belleville. And, you know, I was concerned, you know, thinking, you know, 18 below and those spindly legs, how unusual is that for the sandhill to stay around during the winter?
Well, it's not unusual to, it is unusual for cranes to stay here in the winter, but it's not unheard of. However, they typically do migrate, but they do return very, very early. At Horicon Marsh, we see them return at the end of February, early March in many years. So they'll return as soon as they have some sort of change in weather patterns or the time and the length of the day changes, and they do come back, and I get concerned too when they arrive back and we get these late winter, early spring snowstorms. But they seem to survive well once they do return back and the weather warms up. But they do return pretty early. They're one of the first migratory birds back in the state.
Well, Sadie, thank you so much. Just one more quick question. This sanctuary is protected. It's limited access to the public or not open to the public?
So the majority of the refuge is close to the public. However, we do offer some hunting, deer hunting during the state regulated seasons. There is about 100 acres or so on the north side of the refuge that is managed as a waterfowl production area, and that is open to the public. There are no established hiking trails are there, but people are free to hunt and do wildlife observation and hike the property. If you were going to explore the area, I would suggest looking at the Muir County Park across the road from the refuge, which has a wonderful segment of the Ice Age Trail, and the Ice Age Trail Alliance leads organized hikes in the area. And one every year, we do sponsor one on the refuge in the fall. And that's with those partners that I talked about, Ice Age Trail Alliance and the Friends of John Muir. So you get a chance to get on the refuge. But on any day, you can go and hike that Ice Age Trail segment around Ennis Lake. And it's a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to see the wetlands and the landscape that we've talked about today.
Sadie, thanks for joining us. Sadie O'Dell. Sadie O'Dell is a wildlife biologist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service managing the Fox River National Wildlife Refuge.